Chapter 20.
I have no grudge against you,
Whitehall said, the expression on his face far colder than anything a child should have produced.
I don't even need the girl dead. I want the treasures of the Sword Sage, and nothing more. Here and now, with the heavens as my witness, I'll swear an oath on my soul to leave you both alive. Furthermore, I'll take you as my personal disciple. Whatever you are, you're not a jade yet, and in my care you will be.
He held the dagger out in his steady hand, waiting for Lyndon to take the hilt. To win, all Lyndon had to do was delay while Yeren harvested her master's remnant. Forgiveness, Elder, but it seems as though... He considered saying this one, but it didn't seem like time for humble speech. I have no reason to accept. If the remnant is sealed, and I mean no disrespect, but Yeren will destroy you.
She's more powerful than any jade in Sacred Valley,
Whitehall said frankly.
But the battle has weakened her. I give myself even odds of defeating her, but whether I do or not, I hereby swear on my soul that I will first destroy your core. Unsold or not, you will be truly crippled then.
Lyndon shivered, though he covered it by adjusting his robe against the cold. Unsold were considered cripples, but they could still use basic mantra. With his core destroyed, it would be as though he truly had no spirit. He couldn't work with scripts or remnants, and no elixir would save him. Some sacred artists spoke of losing their core as worse than death. He still needed time.
Yeren promised to take me beyond the valley, he said slowly. I've been weak for too long, and I won't settle for the mediocre strength we have here.
Whitehall's eyes lit up, and his grip on the dagger tightened.
Exactly right. That is the heart a secret artist should have.
He waved his hand around them.
Even this place is built on foundations deeper than we've ever explored. Our elders stay jade because they're too afraid to risk what they have and dig deeper. I am not.
From outside there came a crash, and the sound of metal bent past breaking. Whitehall's expression hardened.
Choose now. Join me and rise. We'll leave together, or else I'll cripple you and take my chances against the Sword Disciple.
Lyndon prided himself on thinking through his options. He had sworn an oath to Yeren, but he wasn't even copper. Whatever oath the heavens extracted, it wouldn't destroy his core. But though he remained at the foundation stage, there was some iron in him that would not bend. He was not a coward. He would not abandon Yeren to captivity. And more than anything?
This is my second life, Lyndon said.
He pushed off from the cloud, balancing on his own exhausted feet. Whitehall's eyebrows drew in, but Lyndon didn't care to convince him.
It was a gift from the heavens, and I'd rather die than waste it.
He shrugged.
At least I'll die trying.
He stood proudly before Whitehall, tired and weak, his empty hand bared. He had no cards left, no tricks left to play.
There was a certain peace to it.
Whitehall's face twisted in disgust, and he tossed the stolen dagger to the floor.
Trash!
That was all he said. He covered the distance between them in a single step, his palm striking Lyndon just below the navel. And in the last instant, in that knife's edge of time during the Elder's attack, Lyndon remembered that he did have one more card after all. The Heart of Twin Stars cycling technique had been preparing his core for months now, but he'd always stopped before that final step. Now, as Elder Whitehall injected his burning madra into Lyndon's core, Lyndon activated the technique. He tore his core in half. The agony was unspeakable, beyond physical, and his scream shook every corner of the ancestor's tomb. Whitehall's energy flooded into his body. The empty palm was only remarkable as a technique because it allowed a sacred artist to affect an enemy on the same level. A jade did not need a technique to destroy the spirit of an unsold. He would simply overwhelm the weaker core with power and let it burst under pressure. But if Lyndon's core exploded, he didn't feel it. The agony of tearing it in two blanked everything, washing his world in white. He collapsed to the stone floor, and he welcomed the pain in his body. When he came to, Whitehall had only taken one step to the door. The skin of Lyndon's stomach was scorched where the palm had struck him, and his spirit cycled rapidly on its own, trying to rid itself of the foreign heaven's glory madra. His veins felt like they were on fire, but even that was a relief next to tearing apart his core. And when he thought of the core, His spiritual sense dipped down to the center of his spirit, where two dim balls of light floated inside him like blue-white stars. Weak, but whole and unharmed. After only a blink of thought, he understood why. When the cores split, they had moved. Where once he had one in the center of his body, now he had 1.5 inch to the left and 1.5 inch to the right. Whitehall had missed. Heaven's glory had entered his body, but it had only burned him. He wasn't a cripple, at least no more than before. He wasn't any stronger with 2 cores, of course, and in fact, cycling would likely become twice as difficult in the future. But he had 1 crucial advantage. Whitehall wasn't watching. And no matter how strong his jade spirit made him, he was still in the body of an 8-year-old boy. Summoning strength from the depth of his spirit, scrounging for every scrap of Madra, Lyndon rose to his feet and lunged. Before Whitehall could react, Lyndon had wrapped both hands around a small waist. Then he lifted Elder Whitehall into the air. The elder screamed incoherently as Lyndon staggered over to the wall. A shoe caught him in the nose with a crunch, sending blood streaming into his mouth. Lances of Heaven's glory struck the painted ceiling, the pillars, the walls, but none reached Lyndon. A flailing fist hit him in the side of the head, and the world around him spun. He limped forward, hoping he was going in the right direction. When the floor fell out from under him, he knew that he'd chosen well. They pitched out the hole in the side of the wall that Yeren had accidentally opened. Whitehall tumbled away from him, grasping at air with one hand as golden light shot from the other. His eyes met Lyndon's, and he looked pitifully like a confused, terrified boy. While Lyndon couldn't deny some anxiety, he'd fallen too many times in the last few days. He'd learned to expect it. This time, he'd planned ahead. He caught himself on the edge of a floating red cloud. It had taken him the very last drop of strength to drag the 1,000-mile cloud along behind him, and when he hauled himself up to its surface, he collapsed in utter weakness. This time, finally, he had absolutely nothing left. No Madra, no strength. Even his eyes were covered by tears, his nose and mouth filled with blood, his ears deafened by rushing wind. He drifted as if in a dream, feeling nothing but pain and gratitude for life. Unguided by his spirit, the cloud drifted slowly toward the ground. Hundreds of feet beneath him, Elder Whitehall's body hit the rocks. He swiped tears from his eyes for a better look, horrified that the elder might survive. But then a golden remnant wrenched itself free of the boy's corpse. It was a twisted dwarf, a deformed imp drawn in shining yellow lines.
It would be poetic, Lyndon reflected, if I killed a jade just to die at the hands of his remnant.
Not all remnants were malicious, but Lyndon had the suspicion that Whitehall's likely would be. It didn't drift away, but sat on its haunches like a frog, watching Lyndon's cloud descend. Here he was, with no options left, waiting to slowly slide into inevitable death. It was not how he imagined dying, but he hoped the story would make it back to his family. They would be shocked at how far he'd made it. A weight slammed into the 1,000-mile cloud, bringing a veil of darkness over Lyndon's eyes, and then the same weight settled on him, pushing his pack into his bruised back. A choked gurgle escaped from his mouth as his breath was forced out under the pressure. Yaren pulled her outer robe away from his eyes, leaning down to look at him upside down.
She looked horrifying.
He'd thought she looked halfway dead before, but with the fresh blood on her face, she looked as though she'd crawled out of her own grave.
Don't fall,
she said, and Lyndon took her advice, hugging the cloud to his body. Her Madra filled the construct, and it lurched back into the air. It didn't seem to want to rise, but she forced it up, jumping it back to the cliff in a series of awkward jerks. Finally, it slid through the gap in the tomb wall, and they both spilled out onto solid ground.
Gratitude,
Lyndon said between breaths. She raised a hand in acknowledgement, and a steel limb lifted along with it. It looked exactly like one of the 6 blades on the back of the Sword Sage's remnant, and now it dangled from Yaren's back like the single leg of a spider.
Is that what gold looks like?
He asked. Yaren began to fumble around in her robes, searching pockets.
If my memory's true, Master left me...
An instant later, her hand emerged with a badge of solid gold. In the center, there was a simple picture of a sword. She slipped the ribbon over her neck and held the badge, examining it. He collapsed onto his back, wallowing in pleasant relief. He hadn't wasted his life yet, and now he had a gold on his side.
Do you trust me now?
He asked. More than none, she responded. She heaved herself into a seated position, and the new limb on her back bobbed with her. Real test hasn't even arrived yet. Lyndon craned his neck, looking out the door, and he almost cried. Three other rusty clouds had come to a stop, carrying men and women in white robes.
Oh, look, he said. There it is now.
Yaren didn't seem to hear him. She was kneeling in the corner of the tomb, next to something he hadn't noticed before, the body of a man in black robes. The stone around him was charred in a long black line, and a sword lay bare beside him. Its blade seemed unnaturally white. She bowed so deep that her forehead touched the ground. Three times she bowed, as the first man from heaven's glory ran through the door. His hands were glowing golden, and his jade badge marked him as an enforcer. Enraged eyes fell first on Lyndon.
Disciple, report!
He demanded. Then Yaren rose from beside her master's body. She had left her own sword with him, and was sliding the white-bladed one into a sheath at her side. The silver blade on her back rose like a scorpion's tail, and she turned her scarred face toward the Heaven's Glory Elder. A gold badge dangled from her neck. The jade scrambled backward so fast that it looked like somebody had kicked him. He screamed for the others to stop, to back up, to surround the tomb. Lyndon had discovered that he could only stay tense and afraid for so long before his body just grew numb. Yaren could frighten Heaven's Glory away from the tomb on her own, and if she couldn't, it wasn't as though he would be a great help. So he was free to pursue an idle theory that had bothered him for some time. From his pack, he withdrew the Star Lotus bud. It was pale white with streaks of pink, the sort of pure color that he normally associated with remnants, and its petals were curled into a half bloom, as though it had frozen in the act of opening completely. It was a natural work of art. He bit it in half. It tasted like sweet grass with a slightly bitter undercurrent, but it dissolved like sugar on his tongue. He swallowed it in seconds, crossing his legs and straightening his back into a cycling position.
They have to pull the tiger's tail, don't they?
Yaren said.
If they want their share sooner rather than later, I'll... What are you doing?
The energy of the spirit fruit, was it still a spirit fruit if it was an edible flower? He assumed so, showed in his mind's eye as a bright, pink-tinged white. It dispersed in his stomach, flowing around his spiritual veins in a river of lights that tickled as they traveled. When they had traveled around his body, they tried to enter his core, or rather, his cores. When he had first read The Heart of Twin Stars, he'd theorized a few uses for the technique besides defense. He hadn't been able to test them without ripping his core in half, but now he had his chance. While keeping one core tightly closed, he directed the Star Lotus Mudra into the other. The right-hand core grew brighter, stronger, immediately nourished by the spirit fruit. It had a small effect immediately, but many of the pale pink dots stayed in the core, tickling him from the inside out. They would be digested over the next days and weeks. When he'd finished gathering the Star Lotus energy into one core, he inspected the other. It was totally clear. He emerged from cycling with a bright smile on his face. Yaren laughed at him.
You look like you just tore that elder apart with your teeth.
He rubbed at his front teeth, and his finger came back sticky with blood. He spat out a mouthful, but his enthusiasm was undimmed.
I took half the Star Lotus.
A lance of gold shot through the door, and she dodged to one side, bearing the white blade in her hand.
You thought now was the opportune moment to fuzz up your core.
Lyndon climbed onto the thousand-mile cloud, beckoning her to join him.
We're not fighting, and I wanted to test a theory.
If Heaven's Glory wants me to spill some more blood, I'm not telling them no.
Yaren strode over to the open door, her master's pale blade to one side. Even to Lyndon's numb heart, some feeling returned. Panic.
We have to leave now. They won't follow us outside the valley.
She wasn't listening to him, so he added,
What would your master say about throwing your life away here?
She deflected another lance of light, but she didn't leave the tomb.
He'd say if I killed one of them for each of my fingers, I could die proud.
Of course he would.
Lyndon considered a number of approaches. His first instinct was to shout at her, reminding her of her oath. He considered begging, bargaining, even leaving her and taking his chances outside the valley. Quietly, he said,
Please don't leave me to die.
She flinched visibly, even as a trio of Heaven's Glory enforcers came up the stairs, their hands shining gold. The grip on her sword shifted. She leaned forward, then back. With a growl, Yaren swept her white blade across the doorway to the tomb. The colorless sword energy hung in the air at neck height, frozen in place even as she turned and ran toward him.
You can go rot,
she said, shoving him to the back of the cloud and hopping in front of herself.
But bleed me if I'm leaving anybody, not even you.
On their way out, Yeren sliced another pillar. The ancestor's tomb groaned, cracked, slowly crumbling under a lack of support. As they flew out the hole in the wall, the ceiling tilted and collapsed into a landslide of rubble, delaying Heaven's glory, and interring the Sword Sage forever in his killer's tomb. They slid down the other side of Mount Samara on the thousand-mile cloud, and as Yeren steered them down the slopes, Linden kept his eyes on the scenery at the bottom. It was a rolling ocean of green, and every once in a while something stuck its head up over the treetops like a fish breaking the water's surface. He drank in the sight, because it was one no one in the Wei clan had ever seen. This was the land beyond Sacred Valley.
If you're through with the other half of that flower, Yeren called back, I'll give it a home myself. It'll do anybody's spirit some good. Apologies, but I still need it. The other half only went to one of my cores. You've got two short breaths to explain that before I push you off and let you roll down.
So Linden explained the Heart of Twin Stars. It turned into something of a winding story, as he had to explain the Aurus Spirit Fruit, his fight with the Mon family, the empty palm technique, and eventually the seven-year festival.
As soon as I found this manual, I had an idea. If I could separate two different types of Madra into different cores, then maybe I could learn two paths.
Two paths, Yeren repeated.
She didn't sound nearly as excited about it as he was.
That'll cost you twice the work. You're having enough trouble with one path as it is. I wouldn't scrape yourself too thin trying for two.
I'm sorry, you must have misunderstood. I'm not on a path. They wouldn't teach me. I'd be open to learning a sword path if you had some extra time.
She turned to him, her scarred face still streaked with blood.
This is why my master would have killed your clan elders.
Because they didn't teach me a path?
I'll feed it to you in small pieces. You saw me stick solid sword madra in the doorway, true?
Right, he said. True.
What kind of a technique do you contend that is?
It's a forger technique, he said.
And when I throw madra out of my sword?
Striker.
And when I call up aura from every sword in the room?
That was a ruler technique, and he saw where she was heading.
I know about all that. Some of the elders in my clan can use techniques outside their discipline.
She nodded along.
Since you know, then answer me this. If anybody can do anything, what does your spirit matter?
Anybody can't, he said. Most people can only learn a technique if their spirit has an affinity for it.
Is that true? That's a mind-bender for me, then, because Heart of Twin Stars sounds like a classic enforcer technique.
He paused, because he wasn't sure. Enforcers could use their madra to make themselves stronger, and their techniques had to do with strengthening the body, but the core was part of the body.
Here's another riddle for you. That empty palm you worked out looks to me like a striker move.
It only reaches a few inches.
It's a rotten striker move then, but a runty cub is still a tiger. See, your test everyone in Sacred Valley loves, that bowl of liquid madra? It's a rotting trap of a test, and it's filled you all up with lies.
Linden's breaths were coming more and more quickly, until it felt like he couldn't breathe.
That test doesn't show you what you are. It shows you what you're best at. Shows where you start, not where you end up. You start as a forger? Well, cheers and celebration for you. That means you'll have to work extra hard as an enforcer. Outside of the valley, you don't get to call yourself a sacred artist until you've at least learned the basics of all four disciplines and harvested a remnant. To my eyes, every one of your elders is still in training.
So then, how could I be...
unsouled? She shrugged. Never heard that word before coming here. You just started two steps behind. That's the spine of it. Nothing worth crying about. Some of them polished families can take a squalling baby from foundation to jade in 2.5 pills. It's practicing your path that's hard, and it sounds to me like you're halfway through with yours.
For a long time, Linden couldn't say a word. The truth blasted through him, leaving him numb. He didn't need to find a path of his own. He was already on it. The wind pressed icy needles against eyes covered in tears, and suddenly he was scrambling through the pack on his back, digging out the Heart of Twin Stars manual. It was only halfway complete. The rest of the pages were blank. While Yeren asked him what he was doing, and if he was crying, he juggled the manual, a brush, and a jar of ink. Anyone who found it a path was expected to take careful notes, to pass their knowledge on to future generations. With careful hands, he wrote at the top of the page, The path of twin stars.